Father, we love you. We praise you and thank you for your goodness and grace. God, it's just so amazing to be your children and to be in your presence and to serve you. I pray you'd open our hearts, open our minds. I pray for an arrow from heaven, right from your throne into our hearts with love and power and passion and truth that will change us so we can change our world. Give us ears to hear. Give us a heart to obey. May life come forth in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke, the 16th chapter. I've not been able to get away from this for days to bring this night. Luke chapter 16. This word is relevant for every one of you. I do not have a specific target audience except for everybody here with an open heart for God. Luke 16, it starts with a very interesting parable, probably the most difficult parable to interpret in all of Scripture. There's the most debate about exactly the intent of the parable of the shrewd manager. But when the parable comes to its conclusion and Jesus gives the lesson in verse 9, he then says this in verse 10, and this is what I want to focus on. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, and that's what the parable was also dealing with, who will trust you with true riches? And if you've not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No one can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. The Pharisees who loved money heard all this and were sneering at Jesus. He said to them, "You are the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of men, but God knows your hearts. What is highly valued among men is detestable in God's sight." If you walk with the Lord for any length of time, there's some kind of vision, some kind of burden, some kind of dream, something that you have in your heart, at least on some level, where you want your life to count, where you really want to do something for the Lord, where you don't just want to spend your life surviving, where you want your life to touch others, or you want to see God's power demonstrated in you, or you want to see the reality of his promises, or the reality of dreams that are put in your heart. It's difficult to walk with the Lord for any length of time without your vision expanding beyond just me and my needs. And for most of us, there are things that we want to do that are way beyond what we're presently doing. There are things that we want to see that are way beyond what we're presently seeing. There are things we want to experience and bring others into that are beyond where we currently are. In fact, being hungry and thirsty and having desire and vision is a sign of health. You know, when someone stops eating, they've got cancer or some disease ravaging their body and they stop eating, it's a sign that something's wrong. And then as they start to get their appetite back, you think, oh, you're getting healthy. Having an appetite, a spiritual hunger, is a sign of health. And for the many that have gone through our school of ministry or that are in our school, you're being challenged constantly with vision, with potential, with what God wants to do through human lives. The question is, how do I get there? How do I see these dreams fulfilled? You know, it struck me many years ago that everybody in this world, who, however famous they are, they're just another person that grew up somewhere. You know, this could be the president of the United States. It could be some terrorist leader like Osama bin Laden. It could be some sports figure like a heavyweight boxing champ. Whoever it is, it was just somebody grew up as a kid. And maybe at a certain point in life began to think, I want to do this. I'm going to be this. And they became what it is, for better or for worse. The point is, only human beings get to live this thing out. Whoever the person is, if somebody had the dream, they're going to be the next star in American Idol or some silly thing like that. That's another human being that gets to live the thing out. What I'm saying is, whatever the dreams, the visions, the purposes that are in your heart, many other people have had purposes. Many other people have had dreams, some from God, some from the flesh, some from the devil. Question is, how do you get from where you are to see that thing fulfilled? How do you get from where you are today, if you've got a message, if you've got something burning within you, if you've got something that breaks your heart, how do you get from here to there? What if you've got some ridiculous dream? You know, you're going to be a president of, you know, your particular country. Or your words are going to be repeated by generations. I mean, some dream that seems crazy. What if you can't shake the thing? How in the world do you get there? What if your burden is to be a church planter? What if you've got this vision that your kids are going to be world changers? How do you get to that place? Many Christians make the mistake of living in the perpetual tomorrow. The perpetual what I'm going to do when I get there. What's going to happen when the door opens? How I'm going to respond in the big moment. The fact of the matter is, we all live in reality in the perpetual now. There was a friend of mine, an older pastor, that had emailed me about something, and I told him I'd get back to him tomorrow. And I just lost track of the email completely. And some days later, it could have been a week or two, I don't even know. He emailed me back. He said, you know, my son, when he was little, used to ask me, Daddy, is it tomorrow yet? When does tomorrow come? The fact of the matter is, in reality, tomorrow never comes. In reality, all you have is today, and within that, all you have is now, and there is nothing stopping you or me from being obedient in the here and now, from being wholehearted in the here and now, from taking hold of God's purpose and what he's requiring of us here and now. He's not if you're called to be the president of the United States, he's not requiring that of you now. Oh, man, I better get with it. Well, I'm in the campaign, there's a little time, and Obama's way out there, and McCain, whoa, no, that's not what he's requiring of you right now. Some people have this idea that when the big moment comes, I'll rise up into it. When the opportunity is there, then I'll really show them. I'll kind of wait until the day when I am discovered. In point of fact, God is looking at the here and now, the today in which we live. Look, the only time God can speak to you is now, is today. Even if he reminds you of a word he spoke to you 6 months or 6 years ago, it has to be heard today. That's why the scripture says, today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. That's what you are responsible for. We have the habit of putting it off on someone else. Man, I can't believe she's not here. This is like a word right for her. You know, we put it off on somebody else. We put it off of, yeah, as soon as I finish this, I'm really going to respond to that. Whereas it's for us, it's for me, it's for you, it's for now. And these Jesus principles are profoundly important for every single life. If you want to see tomorrow's vision fulfilled, if you want to see the dreams in your heart come to pass, if you want to move into a place of new effectiveness in God, if you want to step into things you've never stepped into before, it is not difficult. Because all God requires of you is obedience today, exactly where you are. Forget the spotlight. For those of you that are called to public ministry, forget the spotlight. That is the least important thing. Forget when people are looking at you. That's the least important thing. The thing that matters is what God sees, who sees in secret. God sees, who looks inside the heart. God sees when nobody else is looking. God sees when the stakes seem small. God sees when you pour yourself out and there's very little to show for it, but you do it out of love for God and love for people. Listen to what our master tells us. Remember, everything he said is absolutely, completely trustworthy as one who is not only God himself, but who sees from God's perspective. Who came down and lived it out. Come on, when he was hanging on the cross in obedience to his Father's will and with love for this dying world, when he's being mocked on the cross and dying a criminal's death, you think it was even possible for someone to stand there at that moment and say his name will be the greatest name in the entire world and everything in the universe will bow down to him and give account one day? At that moment, it would have been completely inconceivable. There's nobody who saw it at that moment. Come on, you know what happened to his disciples. They were scattered. They fled. They were afraid. They didn't know what to make of it. Even the devoted women, they didn't come to see the resurrected Jesus. They came to take care of his body in the grave. All he had in mind was the Father. The will of God. Doing what he knew was eternally right in God's sight. Everything else will fall into place. I could care less what PR mechanism somebody has going for them, how the media is for them, what armies they have behind them, how much funding they have. It is utterly meaningless. The only thing that matters is God for me. Is God with me? Am I right in his sight so that he is backing me? Oh, man, it seems things never happen. Yeah, we don't get over stupid attitudes. We get offended with people. We don't walk in forgiveness. We let sins of the flesh come in. We play games with silly things. We piddle away all kinds of time, and then we expect God to trust us with more? No. But when I preached real good. Forget that. That's the most meaningless thing of all. You know, in the height of revival and all the crowds and all the intensity and excitement in Pensacola, all the massive school and everything going on, get to people's heads a little bit. And I told them, you know, especially when we had some young people I was talking to in a mentoring group, in a class, I said, you know, when you go home, your parents will not be impressed with your miracle stories. They want to know, did you make your bed? Do you have a respectful, gracious attitude? Well, that's like petty stuff. No, it's not petty stuff. I mean, living in the home, in a, In the overall scheme of things, making one's bed is not on the high priority of what, well, I was going to use Mike Brown, but he didn't tuck the sheets in. But I'm talking about the Lord was using me, man, the power of God was upon me. It's like, yeah, but you act like a jerk afterwards in the restaurant. You were discourteous to people. Yeah, you're so full of yourself, you didn't even go home and worship the Lord and commune with him. It doesn't matter what's against you. Listen to me. It doesn't matter if you grew up being the outcast of your family. It does not matter what strikes you have against you. That is all completely immaterial. No one had more strikes against them than the man hanging on a cross, dying a criminal's death, forsaken by his friends, with no earthly hope. If you will make a determination, I am going to be faithful today. I am going to live in the here and now in obedience to God and find out the will of my Father and submit myself to it. And if I fall short, I'll be quick to repent and turn back and make the thing right and put those ways behind me. It does not matter how many strikes are against you. It does not matter how many people disagree with you. And whether you play the political games of the religious system, it only matters if your Father's pleased. That's all that matters. The one who sees in secret, who sees when you're patient instead of lashing out, who sees when you choose to walk in mercy instead of self-defense, who sees when you share the gospel in a difficult situation, who sees when you're quick to turn from sin when it's presented, all you need is his favor. All you need is hisma. All you need is thumbs up from the master. Everything's good. Well done. I'm with you. Listen to what he says. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. You know, just living a generally sloppy life is being untrustworthy with very little. Not being a good steward over what you have. Yeah, but what I have is like old and beaten up. Be faithful with it. Maybe after 80 years, you'll finally get something better. I'm ultimately talking spiritually, but some of us, because we just don't have what we think, oh, I don't have the platform for preaching. I'm teaching three-year-olds. I mean, I haven't been entrusted with that much. Maybe you haven't been entrusted with more because you're not faithful with the little. Man, I don't have hours a day to pray. Maybe you would if you took the 5 minutes you had. You know, it's all relative, isn't it? I'm not being compared to you, and you're not being compared to me. You don't have to run my race. I don't have to run your race. One time I was lifting weights, and the guy in the gym said, hey, try this exercise. And it was just a slight difference, just, you know, a slight different angle. And, man, suddenly I felt like a wimp. I mean, I could only lift like half the amount. It's like instead of like 600 pounds, it was only like 300. I think it was the Japanese weight system. The measures may have been a little different, I think. But I remember just thinking, yikes, I can hardly do this thing. And the guy said, it's not weight, it's resistance. I mean, here's one of these massive, you know, human beings that, you know, has to turn sideways to get into things because the arms don't bend. And He said, it's not weight, it's resistance. You know, it's all relative. For somebody lifting 5 pounds is less than for somebody else lifting 300 pounds. You don't have to be some superstar. You don't have to prove anything to anybody. It is a matter of faithful in little, faithful in much. Trustworthy with where I am today. Many years ago, there was a brother working with a ministry I was involved with. He got disgruntled and was leaving. It's back in the 80s. And I said to him, is God moving you out or is God moving you on? Because he once spoke that to me in a situation. I just was not content. And he said, I'll move you out, but it won't be a promotion. You know, many of us spend our lives going from kindergarten to kindergarten to kindergarten to kindergarten and complaining about it, and I haven't been promoted, and we have so much to offer, and yet it never comes out. It's never realized. And we go from small setting to small setting to small setting to small setting, all the time judging others, all the time having our issues, all the time being right and everybody else is wrong. Of course we never get out of kindergarten. I don't want to be moved out because something's difficult, moved out because I'm having a hard time, moved out because of relational pressure. I want to be moved on. I want to be promoted by heaven to the next level of effectiveness so that Jesus can receive more glory. More lives can be changed. Who cares if people know your name or not? Who cares if you're famous or infamous in the sight of man? What matters is that God's pleased. And if lives are being touched and somebody else gets the credit for it, who in the world cares? Yeah, you don't know how I've been mistreated. I know God. I know God is totally perfect, and I know that he cares deeply, and if we'll get his favor, then nothing can stop you. Amen. Hey, I've been mistreated too. I've been wrong too. I've been told if you don't play this game, you're not going far. And I said, sorry, God hasn't called me to do that. I would rather be true to my convictions than have some carnal success. Plenty of people know plenty of people's names. Do a search for some movie star, superstar. You'll find more of that person than our Christian superstars. What does it mean? What does it mean if everybody knows your name? It's meaningless. Oh, hang on. Some of you really want your name to be well known. I'll tell you the key. No, I mean, you want to explode this? You want to make it big, big, big? Maybe 10,000 people know your name, but you'd like 10 million people to know your name? Really simple. Get a little more famous and then have a miserable fall into sin, and then a lot more people will know your name. Or your fame will spread everywhere. That should sober us up a little bit if we want to be known. That's not the issue. It's that Jesus is known through us, that there's a level of effectiveness that we have, that we don't just spin our wheels for 80 years. As long as you are looking to people to help you fulfill the calling on your life, you'll be disappointed. As long as you're looking for an organization to open a door for you or for some ministry to make you into something, you will always be disappointed. You know, Jesus said, you live by the sword, you die by the sword. You live by the praise of man and the work of man, you die by it. To whatever extent we are able, as much as it depends on us, we should have a good reputation. A good name is better than gold. We should be respected. We should have a good reputation with outsiders. But ultimately, we will please God even if it means displeasing people. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. That's like 50 cents. I mean, is anybody looking? Yes. You know, something happened recently where Jesse Jackson made a comment about Barack Obama. One might call it a cutting comment. It's something you're not going to quote publicly. He made it in whispered tones, one black leader speaking to another black leader, but a very vulgar thing that he said, very harsh. He didn't know the mic was on. He was just talking in whispered tones. He didn't realize the mic was on, and next thing the whole world is reading what he said. And apparently there was even worse that didn't get reported that was on there too. And I'm not saying that to bash Jesse Jackson or to poke fun at what he said. But when I read about it, it struck me, you know, the mic is always on. The mic is always on. You know, now we've got a studio that was put in for me. We moved our office into a basement of our building, so it's underground radio, you know, broadcasting from our subterranean studio in a former bomb shelter. It's true. Subversive radio. I love it. But once they call in and make the connection, there's a mic there, you know, three mics, but my mic, the mic is on. So we'll be walking around the room just talking about different things, and suddenly they'll be talking to me. The mic is on. In God's sight, the mic is always on. What do you think matters more to the Lord? The way I speak up here, or the way I speak to my wife in private? Or raising my kids, the way I speak to my kids in private when they were little? What do you think matters more? Oh, what comes out publicly may have more of an effect for good or for evil, but what matters more in God's sight is not, wow. I'm telling you, God and the angels are not looking down at the world's greatest preacher and saying, whoa, is he slick? They're not all stopping what they're doing. Hey, he's on, the hour of power is on. Whoa, can he preach? Woo! Nothing we do like that impresses God. I just raised the dead. Well, if you were privileged to be used by God to raise the dead, may I remind you, without his power, you can't even raise up out of bed in the morning. That's not impressive. You know what impresses God? Humility, Christ-like character, attitude, gentleness of heart, persevering to do the right thing against opposition. You know, sometimes we are so full of ourselves and so anointed and mighty that we despise these little people with little ministries. Don't know what we know. And God looks, you know, he's been faithful all these years. And only God knows how many lives have been touched as a ripple result of that. Can you be trusted with very little? What do you have right now? Are you faithful to it? Are you faithful to it? Oh, man, when I get out of school, what I'm going to do for God? Well, are you faithful right now? Oh, man, I tell you, when this next month, next year, oh, when this opportunity, are you faithful right now? No, I used to have this big ministry right now. Okay, are you faithful right now? Are you faithful with the little God's given you? Faithful in very little. You can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you've not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? You know what's amazing here? Worldly wealth, that's not true riches. I mean, that's the one immediate observation from this passage, that worldly wealth, that's not the true riches. And when you got a whole generation, an army of people preaching and teaching and putting their emphasis on worldly wealth, you know that they're not touching the true riches. Or whatever extent they have of it, they're not bringing other people into the reality, and they're preaching something miserably carnal. To think of the notion that Jesus died on the cross to make us financially wealthy is obscene. Sure, God meets our needs, but you think that's an issue? That's something to be sought after, coveted, desired? I'm not just talking about the needs being met and family being fed, but the pursuit of worldly wealth in the name of the gospel is profane. I'd be more direct, but I don't want to offend anyone. Is that good, Scott? Very pastoral there? Forgive my sarcasm. If you've not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who'll trust you with true riches? You know what that does tell me, though? That stewardship of my finances is very important. That's what it does tell me. That being careful with the finances I have and being a good steward and honoring the Lord with those things, that God's seeing trustworthiness in that, because that's where so many people can mess up, will show that we can handle true riches. And if God wants to give you an abundance of funds or not, that's not the issue. You ever hear the story about this guy that was unbelievably wealthy? And he poured his heart out to God and made a deal with the Lord. He made a deal with the Lord. That he would live for the Lord as long as the Lord would allow him to bring one thing with him into heaven. And the Lord said, it's a deal. Just one big sack. Fill it however you want. So he gets up to the gates of heaven, and he's got this enormous sack he's pulling. And the angels stop him, as the story goes, and say, excuse me, you can't bring anything in with you. He said, no, check with the Lord. Check your records. Check my name. I've got a special arrangement here. So sure enough, they go and they come back. They said, all right, it's true. You can bring in that one sack, we just need to see what's in it. So it opens it up, and it, the whole, I mean, an enormous giant sack packed with solid gold. Glimmering, shining, beautiful, solid gold. Who can imagine what the value of it was? And the angels looked at him and said, why would you bring concrete into heaven? Get that, Streets of Gold, remember all that? Why are you pursuing that when you can have the true riches? Why is that what you're going after and looking for? You know, Nancy and I were talking about this, some of the, you know, just obscene stuff. You know, I got Cadillac level faith. You're exercising faith for because you want a nicer car? Shouldn't you be exercising faith to have a greater relationship with God to touch and change lives? And if he wants to bless you with a million cars or none, that's his business? And if you've not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? You know, that can apply on many different levels. I was very much aware of it in the time that we were sharing buildings with others. Are we being trustworthy? Can God trust us with our own building, with our own facility? Are we being trustworthy with our present building and property and facility? Can we be trusted with more? Let me say again, God's not waiting for you to shine at that magic moment. Okay, I can't sing a lick, but I know when my moment comes on national television, I'm going to knock them dead with my song. No, it's not going to happen like that. Yeah, it's true. I mean, every time I get online, there's a temptation of a porno or this. Yeah, I fall into it. But I'll tell you, if they put a gun to my head and said, deny Jesus or die, I'd be strong. Hey, don't worry. They probably wouldn't even know you're a Christian to put a gun to your head. Don't worry about it. If you've not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? How about entrust it with something in a ministry? How about entrust it with being faithful in setting up chairs, taking down tables? Oh, that's the whole purpose of your message. You're trying to get more people to set up chairs. If you think I would stoop to preaching my heart out like this to get someone to pick up chairs, you are absolutely right. That's what we're doing tonight. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Steve, I'm not having any problem transitioning from radio into preaching live. It's just wonderful. But, you know, some of us despise that. You don't know the calling on my life. And my son-in-law Ryan told me about a time that there was someone that asked if they could preach. They were in the school of ministry years back. There was an event they were doing. He said, hey, can I preach tonight? He said, you know, tell you what, we got to dig this ditch here and get things ready to set up for tonight. You come dig the ditch with me during the day. You bet you can preach tonight. Never showed up. You should look for ways to be faithful in the little. You should go out of your way to be faithful in the little. You should go out of your way to be faithful in material things, in earthly things. I mean, as trivial as it sounds, just the job you're doing in the world to do it with excellence, as trivial as it could sound, making a commitment and sticking with it. If it's greeting people on a Sunday morning and standing there with a big smile and handing them a brochure, hey, I'm going to be there and I'm going to be a blessing. I'm going to pray that you wanted me to bring that up, right? No, I'm kidding. Listen, that should be something you pray about. And you say, God, may the joy of the Lord come out of me to touch people. I'm not criticizing anyone. In fact, those that stand and greet, do it in a joyful way. But you say, oh, come on, you're just dragging this message down. No, I want to see people raised up. I want to see people fulfill the potential and the possibility of God. There are so many people here with large visions from God, with powerful callings, with real anointings, with tremendous potential. And I fear that some will spend their lives, so to say, in kindergarten. Or some that are called, spiritually speaking, metaphorically speaking, to be university professors, and they're teaching two-year-olds for life. And teaching a two-year-old is a high calling for many. I'm not making that negative comparison, just getting home a point. What's God requiring? Today. Now. What I have. My own situation. You know, this whole radio thing that just sprung out of the blue is not because I'm looking for another thing to do or trying to take something on, nor the TV deal. And the last thing on my mind is that I want to be seen or known. There's certain things God burned in me for years that I couldn't shake, that I couldn't get away from. I'd pray and agonize in prayer and be moved on by heaven to pray for certain things. Not these specific things, but for a voice to get a certain message out a certain way. Even had a note in my journal, probably 10, 11 years old, about radio on a regular basis, a daily basis. And suddenly these things burst. And, you know, I was now doing the show 5 nights a week. And I was thinking to myself, you know, it's going to take a while for people out there to kind of get used to me. It's going to take a while, the types of themes that we emphasize and things we like to talk about to stir hearts. It's going to take a while. I'm going to have to kind of bring people in little by little by little. I did that one night, and I went home just feeling disturbed. I was not happy about things. Next day, I was just with the Lord, and it just hit me. You need to speak as if you already had 1 million people that were eager to hear every word you had to say. And then just do it like that. Now, I was doing it as best I knew how, but it was just a perspective change. You know what I'm saying? It's a matter of doing this before the Lord with what he's given us, and then let that thing shine. Let that thing happen. Just say a few more things, and I'm done. Look, I care about numbers, and that numbers are people. If there were twice as many people in the world saved today, that would mean many more of our friends, family, neighbors were saved. If we had 10 times as many people in the congregation or in the school, that would be that many more people we could minister to that could go out and minister to others. I mean, I have no desire to be on radio 5 nights a week and pouring myself out to do that and rearranging lots of my schedule to make that happen to speak to 11 people or 500 people. I mean, that's not why I'm doing that or why I feel God's given me that particular venue and outlet. But, you know, on the other hand, numbers are completely deceiving anyway. First, it's totally relative, right? You know, you talk to some people in Korea about churches, oh, that's a small church, only 5,000. You go to Japan, oh, that's a big church, 100. You know, it's relative. I know people coming to Forest like, whoa, all these people. I notice it's like, oh, is this like a home fellowship that just meets out here, a little thing? It's all relative anyway. That's the first thing. And the second thing is numbers in themselves don't prove anything because you may have 10 million flakes. You may have some big crowd, and when you shake that thing, there's nobody left. What really matters is quality lives with quality commitment. But having said that, I know some of you are called to reach so many more people than you're reaching. I know some of you are in the infancy of the calling and the potential of God. How are you going to get there? I tell our students in the school that the you know, how to be practical in leading a church or administrative abilities or good preaching or those things, that's fine, but that is absolutely secondary. If you want to see God's promotion, just walk with him faithfully, a solid, deep, daily relationship with him, turning away from sin, obeying him today, that's when you'll see everything else happen. I've had times in my life in years past, I remember before God called me to leave my job, quit my job and teach at Christ for the Nations in 1983, that's without knowing anyone at the school, having a formal connection, I should say, with anyone there or any door to open. I had already given notice to my boss, called my mother, told her I was going to be moving and teaching at this school, of course, told Nancy first and immediately. It was just by the word of the Lord. And then that amazing things happened from there on. But, you know, right before that, there must have been 3 or 4 little things that God spoke to me. I mean, little things. I'm in a service in Oklahoma, maybe with $50 in my pocket, and feel the Lord impressing me, just give the money you have, just give that in the offering. So the money I had for a few days, just give it. I mean, it's not an earth-shattering thing. And then a few days after that, being out with someone, I was expecting this guy to take us for dinner and then felt treat him. I mean, a tiny little thing. Just remember, each time I remember feeling tested. Do it. God's watching. Do it. God's watching. Do it. God's watching. Remember, he's not watching to smash you. He's watching to bless you. He's watching because he's looking for people to bless. Just remember that. And then that particular night, sitting in the service right before the Lord called me to quit my job and go teach, I'm sitting in the service. God starts stirring my heart. I was in the back of the building. I feel stirred. Go out in the street, find someone to witness to. Just go out on the street, find someone to witness to. I don't know, maybe 8:39 at night, but it was at whatever time it was getting dark. And I went out in the street just looking, just gotta find someone to witness to. And, you know, I go here, can't find anybody there. I'm behind this door that's by a restaurant, and I see some people coming in. I just kind of jumped. I mean, I didn't need to scare them. I'm a big guy, you know. I just said, hey, and I just tried to tell them, hey, you go to this building here, you can find out about eternal life and how to be forgiven of your sins. And the guy puts his arm around, I guess his wife just kind of walks around like, thank you, goodbye. And I ran back in the building just, oh, and normally I want to be more tactful and wise and not just do the thing, but do it in a way that's effective. But I just felt I was supposed to do that. And then got back in the building, and my heart was stirred. And God started to speak to me, and that's when I got the word, quit your job and go teach there. Faithful in little, faithful in much. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Is there something in your life that you know is displeasing in his sight? Some habit, some form of entertainment, some thought pattern, some attitude that you know is displeasing? Deal with it now. Deal with it now. Tell the Lord, okay, I'll deal with it. Yeah, but I can't fix that thing till later. Well, you deal with it now and make the commitment to fix it and go out here and fix it. Today, if you hear his voice, is he calling you to step out into something? It's going to lay something down. If it's so earth-shattering, it's going to affect your whole family. Sure, pray it through and talk to spiritual leaders that are godly people. But if you're faithful with little, God will entrust you with much. If you're faithful with earthly things, he'll give you true riches. If you're faithful with that which belongs to somebody else, their possessions, their ministry, church, work, organization, he'll entrust you with something of your own. Faithful is he who called you. He will bring it to pass. There are millions of witnesses to this. I can add my voice to it. Many here can add theirs. And the reason I have tremendous expectation about tomorrow is because I'm going after him today. I'm seeking to please him today. I believe he looks down, he sees, I want to please the Lord. I want to please my Father. I want to do what's right in God's sight. And then where I'm falling short, boy, do I want to make that thing right and get everything I can get. Not in some legalistic way, but in terms of an extraordinary opportunity. All the kids, all the work. Hey, God's not expecting you to move mountains right now in terms of praying 19 hours a day. But be faithful. Have your heart set. Obey him when he gives you the chance, the opportunity. Don't despise the little thing, the ministering to the one person for 6 months that then backslides. Be faithful. And the Lord will honor it. Let's stand to our feet together. If you're not right with God, anything separating you from God, turn away from it right now. Unforgiveness in your heart. Sinful desires that you're holding on to. Refusal to obey. Lay it down right now. Lay it down right now. Lay it down right now. You've gotten weary. You've lost hope. Renew your faith. Renew your confidence. Faithful in little. Faithful in much. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. I know folks were called up earlier for certain things, but if the Lord's dealing with you and you want to spend some time in his presence praying, as soon as I pray, you just come up and spend some time before him, and we'll worship the Lord and then go home living in that forever now of joyful obedience. Thank you for your word of truth. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need to spend some time with the Lord, come on up, go ahead and do so. Otherwise, we'll just stay before him in worship. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.